Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And again, like I said last week, the passages of Scripture will be on the screen behind me, but I think it'd be good if you wanted to follow along in your Bible today. We're continuing our study of the story of Joseph contained in Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50. If you haven't read that, if you didn't read that last week, I hope you'll go home and read it this afternoon. When we go through struggles and suffering and times of difficulty in our life, and we all do it, and when we do, sometimes we wonder why God is allowing things to happen the way they do. And Joseph is one of those guys. He had to have wondered why in the world God was letting his life take the path that it had taken. But through it all, he is a model to us, an example to us of faithfulness, and then ultimately of forgiveness for those who had wronged him. So you remember last week we started and we talked about that Joseph was favored by his father, Jacob or Israel. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, the Bible says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." That multicolored coat that he made and gave to Joseph indicated that Jacob had selected him to be the leader of the family after Jacob had passed away. Joseph was the 11th son, so that was highly unusual. Usually it was the oldest son, but Jacob favored, loved Joseph and favored him, and so he had chosen him. In addition to that, God had chosen Joseph for a special task, a special job, and so as part of that, God gave Joseph a couple of dreams, and in those dreams, his father and mother and all of his brothers bowed down before him. So because of his father's favor and because of those dreams, we read last week how that Joseph's brothers hated him. Now, I have to stop right here just a minute. I have a confession to make. Yesterday, I was looking at our website. If you haven't done it, you need to look at it. And I listened to one of the sermons, and I realized that I say, a lot. And I just heard myself say, So if I get distracted, forgive me. He was hated by his brothers, and so that led to the fact that Joseph was forsaken by his brothers. You remember they were out tending the sheep out in the field, and Jacob sent Joseph to get a report, to find out how things were going and to bring back a report to him. When they saw Joseph coming, they decided to kill him. Read the scripture, and we'd read it last week. They actually decided to kill Joseph. But Reuben, the oldest, talked him out of it. He said, "Well, let's just throw him into a pit and leave him to die so that he'll die, but not by our hand." He did that because he would be held responsible by Jacob for whatever happened to Joseph. And so while Joseph was in this pit, a group of Midianites, Ishmaelites, came along. And the brothers decided instead of killing Joseph or letting Joseph die, they would sell him to the Ishmaelites, get a little money out of it. So they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites took him to Egypt. And that's where we're going to take up the story of Joseph this morning. Favored by his father, forsaken by his brothers, and now framed by Potiphar's wife. When the Ishmaelites got to Egypt, they sold Joseph as a slave. Now, I don't know if it was a public auction. They had those, if you can imagine. They had an auction block where men and women would be placed on the auction block, and potential buyers would look them over. They'd check them out. They'd see how healthy they were, how strong they were. Maybe in the case of the women, how beautiful they were, and then they would bid on them. They'd buy them. I don't know if Joseph was on the auction block or if it was a private sale, but it doesn't make any difference. Either way, Joseph wound up a slave. Potiphar bought Joseph. Now, I want to say that again, and I want you to let that soak in just a little bit. Potiphar bought Joseph. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." We probably cannot imagine what that was like. It must have been humiliating to be regarded as a piece of property, to be bought like a piece of property. I would imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine Potiphar, whether it was a private sale or on the auction block, he examined Joseph. He looked to see if he was physically fit. He may have examined him mentally, may have tested him to see how sharp he was, how intelligent he was. I don't know. I don't even know if Joseph could speak the Egyptian language. But it must have been humiliating. It must have been frightening. Man, listen, he had been taken away from the father who favored him. Joseph's life to this point, probably about 17 years old when he was thrown into the pit. So for those first 17 years of his life, Joseph, listen, he had it, as far as his father was concerned, he had it made. He was the favored son. He had to do the least amount of work. He had the best place in the tent, wherever it was. He got the best food. He was favored. Now he's been torn away from the father who loved him. He's been taken away from the home he's familiar with. Whatever friends that he had, that it was there, whatever of his family that didn't hate him, surely there were some. He's been taken away from all that. He's been brought into a foreign country. He doesn't know anybody. He probably doesn't speak the language, and now he's sold as a slave. He must have been afraid. But in spite of all of that, he stayed faithful. We have a tendency, I don't know if you've noticed this, we have a tendency to think that our problems, that it's easier for everybody else to be faithful than it is for me, because my life, my problems, my sorrows, my difficulties are worse than everybody else's. You probably can't see it, but I've got a sore thumb this morning. I busted a blood vessel behind my thumb. Y'all are laughing at me, but I'm serious. And it's kind of an odd color. Dan's got a cane. I'm pretty sure my thumb is worse than his leg or his back. Whatever you've got, I'm pretty sure this thumb is worse. So that's the way we think about things, isn't it? Oh, well, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Yeah, but did you see this place on my leg? We have a tendency to think our stuff is worse than everybody else's. So we read the second verse of Genesis 39 and we think, oh yeah, but it wasn't that tough for Joseph. The second verse says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Right? We read, how tough could it be to be faithful? The Lord was with him and he was prosperous. My life's much worse than that. I want to remind you of two things. First of all, Joseph was a slave. He was in the house. Did you catch what the Bible said? He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Not his own house. Not in his friend's house. Not in his wife's house or his in-law's house. In his master's house, the Egyptian. He had no human rights at all. Forget about it. He had no future. What was put into his hands prospered, that is true, but everything belonged to somebody else. He didn't get paid, he was a slave. He didn't have a retirement account, he was a slave, he wasn't going to retire, he was going to be a slave until he died. Potiphar was a military man, he was captain of the Egyptian guard. There are some who believe that perhaps he even had some authority over the prison, I don't know, but he was captain of the guard, he was a military man, he was probably harsh and demanding. It's probably a little bit cruel. You don't climb the ranks of the Egyptian army being a really good, nice person. He didn't care about Joseph. He could care less about Joseph's feelings. He didn't care how he wound up to be a slave. He didn't care that his brothers had forsaken him. That made no difference to Potiphar. All he was concerned about was getting his money's worth. I bought you. I paid for you. You're a possession just like the cows out in the lot. And if they don't produce, I kill them. And if you don't produce, I'll kill you. I don't care. Joseph's life was not easy. He didn't choose to be a slave. So don't think, oh, well, Joseph, it was easy for him because God prospered him. And then the other thing I want you to remember, and this is important. Joseph wasn't faithful because God blessed him. God blessed him because Joseph was faithful. We think, listen, I've heard people say this. I've heard Christians say this, talking about another Christian. Yeah, but if God did for me what He does for them, I'd be doing what they're doing. If God blessed me like He blessed them, it'd be easy to serve the Lord. But you don't know what my life is like. You're exactly right. I don't know what your life is like. But I do know that God never leaves the Christian. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He was with Joseph. And if you're a Christian, He's with you. And I do know that God blessed Joseph because he was faithful. And if you will be faithful, God will bless you. That's the Bible. That's the truth. You may have it tough. You may have it tougher than anybody who's ever existed on the face of this earth. But it's still the truth. If you'll be faithful, God will bless you. That brings us to Potiphar's wife. I know you thought we were never going to get there, but we're there. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. I think some of the other verses before that tell us that Joseph was a handsome, comely man, good to look at. He was a handsome guy, young. I don't know how old Potiphar was or his wife, but Joseph is young. He's somewhere between the age of 17 and 30, something like that, on the low side of that probably. And she sees him every day coming in and out of the house, and he's a good-looking guy. So one day she just said, you know what, I believe I'll have an adulterous relationship with Joseph. Come on, buddy, let's go to bed. This is one of those moments of decision for Joseph. We talked about those last week a little bit too, you remember, and this is one of those moments. Joseph was a young, virile man. She was probably a beautiful woman. Potiphar had achieved some status in Egyptian society, some status in the Egyptian army. She was probably a beautiful woman. I'm going to be honest with you, he was probably tempted. So he had to make a decision. This is his moment of decision. I wonder what he thought. I wonder if he thought, you know, why should I be faithful to God? He has allowed me to be thrown in a pit and left for dead by my brothers. He has allowed me to be sold to the Ishmaelites. They brought me to Egypt and he let me be sold as a slave to Potiphar down here in Egypt. Why should I be faithful to a God who had let all that stuff happen to me? I've served him most of my life. I've tried to be faithful most of my life and look what it got me. Why should I be faithful? Listen, isn't that what we do? Life gets to be a mess. Something happens bad that we don't like. Something painful. Something difficult. Something that causes us to struggle, whatever it might be. And sometimes don't we wonder, well, you know, if God's going to let my life be this way, why should I be faithful to Him? We've somehow got it in our minds that God owes us. Boy, when I get saved, God owes me. God owes me a life of comfort and ease and luxury. Whatever I want, I'm going to get. God owes that to me because I gave myself to Him. You know that's not true. You know that's not the way it works. You know there's not a Christian in this world that has had a life of complete ease and comfort. You know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived on this earth as a poor man. And then He died a humiliating public death on the cross of Calvary, painful, excruciating. God doesn't owe us. He's the Creator. We're the creation. We owe Him worship and honor and praise and adoration. But when times get tough, we figure, why should I be faithful to God if He's going to let my life be a mess? Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 and 9. Tell us Joseph's response. I like the first three words, but he refused. I mean, listen, it's just that simple. He refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not, he does not know what is with me in the house. All that means is Potiphar trusted Joseph, put everything in his house in his charge, and didn't check the books, didn't call in an auditor. He trusted him because Joseph was trustworthy. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Joseph said, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God. Joseph chose to remain faithful and obedient to God. You know, when I read that verse, especially when I read that part where Joseph said that Potiphar had given him everything and hadn't kept anything back from him except for his wife, I'm reminded of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God gave them everything except for the fruit of one tree, and they chose that fruit. See, they did not refuse, they yielded. And we live in the results of their yielding to sin. So Joseph said, I can't do it. But now listen, Potiphar's wife didn't give up. Don't think for a minute that if you resist temptation one time, Satan's just going to leave. He may leave then, but he's going to come back and he's going to tempt you again, and he may tempt you again with the very same thing. We have to remain diligent and remain faithful. Genesis 39:10 tells us that every single day, maybe I better read that verse. 39:10, and it came to pass as she, Potiphar's wife, spake to Joseph day by day. He had to go to the house every day for work. Now, he probably slept in the servants' quarters. I don't know where that was, but it wasn't in the main house. So every day he came into work. He had to. If he didn't, Potiphar would kill him. So every day when he came into house, Potiphar's wife tempted him. Come on, honey. Come on, honey. Every day. And the Bible tells us that every day Joseph refused. I want you to understand that Joseph's life was difficult. I want you to understand that Satan is relentless. And I want you to understand that you and I will have to resist temptation every single day. And it may be the same temptation every single day. And if possible, we need to get away from it. But when it's not possible, and it comes to us every day, we need to resist. And then finally, the day came when Potiphar's wife decided that she was going to take this a step farther, and she was going to force Joseph to lay with her. Genesis chapter 39, verse 12 says, and she caught him. This was a day, by the way, if you read the verse in front of it, where there were no other men in the house, just Joseph and Potiphar's wife, and I'm sure her attendants. She caught him, verse 12 says, she caught him by his garment, caught Joseph, saying, grabbed his clothes, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, I want to tell you, this is one of the parts of the story of Joseph that I love and that flabbergasted me at the same time. Joseph did exactly what we're supposed to do. Joseph did literally what we're supposed to do when confronted with temptation. He fled. He fled the house, left his garment. She had a hold of his garment, and he shrugged out of the coat. She kept a hold of it, and he ran out of the house. The Bible tells us to flee temptation, to flee youthful lust. He literally did that. Now, you would think that because he was literally and faithfully obedient to God, that God would bless him good, right? That's what we think. Boy, I did something good today for God. He's just going to pour it on me. Man, I gave $5 in the offering this morning to those missionaries. I bet God's going to give me $500 back. I can't wait. Potiphar came home. His wife had Joseph's coat in her hand. She said, honey, while you were gone, that Hebrew slave you brought into this house tried to rape me. Took his clothes off right here in front of me. Here they are. That's not exactly what I would call a blessing from the Lord. Potiphar was Joseph's master. Joseph was his slave. He had no rights. Potiphar didn't give him a trial. He didn't hire him a lawyer. He probably didn't even ask him if it was true. He just put him in prison. Framed. Innocent, but imprisoned. His life went from, if it was possible, from bad to worse. I want you to know something. There was purpose in the purchase of Joseph. This is hard to believe. I talked about the purpose in the pit, and now there's purpose in the purchase. God was directing the events of Joseph's life, and he needed to come into Potiphar's house. Now, he needed to be a witness in Potiphar's house, and he was. And again, if you'll read through the scripture, you'll find that because Joseph was faithful, Potiphar saw that God blessed him. That's a witness. That's a testimony. But Joseph also needed to come into Potiphar's house because Joseph needed to meet Potiphar's wife, because she needed to frame him, because Joseph needed to go to prison, because that was God's plan. There was purpose in the purchase. I'm sure Joseph would have preferred a different way. When it was all said and done and he can look back and see everything that happened, I'm sure he would have preferred something different. But this was God's plan. This was God's way. Maybe it didn't make sense to Joseph. It certainly didn't make sense to Joseph while it was happening. Maybe it didn't later, but this was what God had in mind. Christian, I want you to know something. There is always purpose in the things that happen in your life. Always purpose. God is always moving. God is always directing. God is always overseeing. God is always present. God is always faithful to us. And there is always purpose. We may not understand what it is. We may never understand what it is. But we need to trust in the goodness of God and know that there's purpose in all the events that happen in our lives. All right. That brings us to the next event in Joseph's life, and that is that he was forgotten by his fellow inmates. Once again, Joseph was faithful to God in prison, and once again, God blessed him because he was faithful. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison because he was faithful. God blessed him." I also don't want you to miss this fact, and I just mentioned it. God was with Joseph. The Bible says God was with him. God was with Joseph in the prison. He was with Joseph as a slave. He was with Joseph in the pit. He was with Joseph in the trip from the pit to Egypt. God was with Joseph. God is always with us. Now, I'm sure, and God bless Joseph. Listen, I'm sure Joseph would have preferred to be released from prison than to be blessed in prison. Right? Sometimes we have things happen in our lives, whether it's a sickness, a disease, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's family problems, whatever it might be. And in the midst of those, we sense God's blessings, but we would really prefer to be delivered from it than to be blessed in it. I'd really rather not have cancer as to be blessed in cancer. I'd really rather have a faithful, God-fearing spouse as to have one that isn't and be blessed in that situation. I'd rather have money than to be blessed in poverty. I'm sure Joseph would have rather been released from prison than to be blessed in prison, but it was God's plan to keep him there at least for a while, and it was God's mercy that blessed him while he was there. While Joseph was in prison, the butler and the baker of Pharaoh were thrown into prison. The Bible doesn't say why. For some way, they had displeased Pharaoh. You displease the king, there's a couple of options. You can be beheaded or you can be imprisoned. They got the better of the two. While they were in prison, they both had dreams. Egyptians put great stock in dreams. They believed that dreams foretold the future. And so they actually had a class of people who were professional dream interpreters. But, of course, in prison, the butler and the baker didn't have access to the dream interpreters. And so they were upset because they'd had a dream and nobody could tell them what it meant. And somehow Joseph found out about that. And so by the power of God, Joseph interpreted the dreams for them. The butler, he said the butler was to be restored to his office as butler. The baker, he said, would be beheaded. And so 3 days later, it was Pharaoh's birthday. And 3 days later, the butler and the baker were called up out of prison. I want to read Genesis chapter 40, verse 14. These are the last words, probably, that Joseph spoke to the butler after he interpreted his dream. And Joseph said, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee." When Pharaoh calls you up, think about me. "And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." we think, oh, God blessed Joseph in the prison. It wasn't that bad. Well, he described it as the dungeon. I don't want to get into a lot of details about prisons in that day. I don't know a lot, but I do know this, you know, no running water, no electricity, no toilet facilities. They ate where they went to the restroom. Joseph said, I've done nothing to be in this dungeon. When Pharaoh calls you up, remember me. 3 days, Pharaoh's birthday, calls up the butler and the baker. The butler, he restores to his position. The Bible says that he once again gave Pharaoh his cup. The baker, for some reason, he beheaded. Just like Joseph said it would happen. Just exactly like God gave the interpretation to Joseph, it occurred. Then Genesis chapter 40, verse 23 says this, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Listen, isn't that typical of Joseph's life to this point? Favored by the father, forsaken by his brothers. Framed by Potiphar's wife, forgotten by his fellow inmates. Just when he thought, don't you know? Listen, it had been 11 years since Joseph was thrown in that pit. I don't know how many years he was a slave and how many years he was in prison, but it had been 11 years to this point. And don't you know when he laid down on the ground that night in whatever mess he was laying in, and he remembered, oh, the butler. Today, the butler was taken back to the palace. Tomorrow, I'm going to get out of here. And tomorrow came, and the next day came, and the next day came, and the Bible says 2 years came and went, and the butler forgot. I don't know a Joseph. I read his story. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about what he felt. I know he wasn't perfect. I know he was human. I know for 11 years he had to at least had times where he wondered about what God was doing and why God was doing it the way he was doing it. There had to have been times in those 11 years that he must have cried out to God, perhaps even in anger, God, why don't you do something? There had to have been times in those 11 years when he must have said, listen, I don't want to be blessed in this mess. I want to be delivered from this mess. That's what we do. That's what I do. But in all of that, and I started to say in spite of that, but that's not really the way to say it. In all of that, Joseph remained faithful and obedient to God. I want you to know there was purpose in the prison. In the prison, Joseph was a witness. Again, if you'll read the story, you'll find that he was a witness. He was favored by the keeper of the prison because he was a witness. He saw, the keeper of the prison saw God bless Joseph because Joseph was faithful. So he was a witness in prison. In prison, he met the butler and the baker. In prison, he interpreted their dreams. Listen, if he'd have been out of prison and they'd had dreams, they would have never called on Joseph to interpret their dreams. They would have called on the professionals. And by interpreting their dreams, Joseph is going to meet Pharaoh. And that's the point of all that started 11 years ago, 13 by the time he meets Pharaoh. Christian, I want you to remember this. God is with you. I already told you the verse. It's in Hebrews. I can't think of the passage directly, but he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now listen, you may turn your back on God, but God will never turn his back on you. God is with you. Amen. Whatever it is, wherever you are, however good, however bad, God is with you. Amen. I want you to remember that. I also want you to remember there is purpose in everything that happens in the life of a believer. I know that's hard to understand. But it's true. I know it seems like sometimes that, you know, the things are happening on a worldwide scale that couldn't have any impact for us, affect us in no way at all. And then, lo and behold, it does. And we think, well, how? But God knew that. God has a purpose in all of that. I'm not saying he causes terrible things to happen, but he has a purpose in those things. God will never leave you. God has a purpose for everything that happens in your life. And God will bless you if you will be faithful. And part of faithfulness is obedience. I want God to bless me. I really do. I want God to be not just a part of my life. I want my life to be His. I want His blessings. I want His love. I want His grace. I want His mercy. I want all of that. And I can have all of that, and so can you, if I'll give myself to Him, if I'll accept Him as my Savior, and I've done that, and then if I will be faithful and obedient every minute of every day of the life that I have for as long as I have it. The exact same thing is true for you. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have a song of invitation. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. The first thing we need to do if we want God's blessings, if we want His love, if we want His peace and His joy, if we want to escape hell and go to heaven, if we want peace in this life, the first thing we have to do is confess our sins to Jesus and ask Him to forgive us. Give ourselves to Him. And then if we want that to continue, if we want to live the victorious Christian life, we must be faithful to God. We must be obedient to God from this moment forward. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, listen, you know it. You may tell others you are, but you know it. Could I just ask you, please, would this be the moment you'd be honest with yourself and with God and confess your sins and accept Christ as your Savior? Christian, if you're here this morning struggling with something in your life, maybe it's a temptation, maybe it's a trouble, a problem, a pain, whatever it is, would you just make the decision? This is your moment of decision. Would you just decide right now, whatever, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be obedient. If you'd like for us to pray with you, you come while we sing.